Greetings, cultivators from around the world. Jordan River here, back with more GrowCast, and that skunk smell is coming from your upper lip. Duke Diamond is on the show, everybody. Shout out to the prolific breeder, Duke Diamond. We had a lovely interview. Very interesting guy. Seems like a good guy. Seems like a very storied individual. I know you're going to love this episode, my Gromigo. Now, before we jump into it with Duke Diamond, shout out to Rimrock Analytical, my choice partners for sex testing. Quick service, fast, affordable, accurate, all at rimrockanalytical.com. Code GROWCAST for free shipping on your tests. Stop wasting time sex testing. Stop wasting nutrients, space, and soil. Cull the males as seedlings, everyone. You get a sex test. You mail off a cotyledon when the first set of true leaves comes through, and Rimrock gets back to you lickety-split. I've never seen someone with this fast of service. You can email Rimrock. They'll get back to you right away. Code GROWCAST, again, for free shipping on your tests. And they have more than just sex tests. That's what you're going to want to institute every time. But they also do soil tests, plant tissue tests, lots of great stuff. Over at rimrockanalytical.com, code GROWCAST. Support the show. Support Rimrock, a small business. And support your garden by not wasting time sexing your plants. Who wants to do that? All right, everyone, let's get into it with Duke Diamond. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you again for taking the time to tune in today. As usual, I urge you to share the show at the beginning here. Subscribe so you catch every episode. And check out The Order of Cultivation, our little secret society. Don't tell anybody. GrowCastPodcast.com/join the order. Oh, I'm excited for today's episode. Rounding out Grow Gear January. I mean, seeds are considered grow gear, right? And transitioning into Breeder Feature February, I'm so excited for this episode. Without further ado, we have the prolific, powerful breeder, Duke Diamond, on the line. How is it going, Duke?
Man, real good, Jordan. Thanks. Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course, man. Of course. For those who maybe are just getting into the cannabis industry, if you just tuned into the podcast, Duke Diamond is, like I said, a very prolific breeder. He's one of the OGs, to say the least, originally from Virginia, of course, representing Virginia, now residing elsewhere. Just got out of a stint in the pen, is my understanding, for some bullshit charge. We're glad to have you back in the cannabis community, Duke. It's a shame you ever had to spend time away, and we're happy to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's great. Great to be back. It was my second time, too. So. I gotta quit doing that.
I was going to say, man, you got to stay out for yourself and for the community. We got to keep you here on the outside. But we did kind of talk off air. It was unrelated and just a bullshit. There's nothing shy of bullshit with that, with that story.
Yeah, it is what it is. You live and you learn with anything. As long as you're learning from your mistakes, you're becoming better at the end of it. No. I quit being a wild dude. It's just in my genetics, you know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate that personal evolution, man. That recognition of patterns and the ability to change. What is on the menu for you? Of course, Dominion Seed Company, your namesake. What are you looking to kind of jump back into and accomplish now that you're back in the cannabis community as a free man?
Well, first and foremost, I've been writing a book. But I was away, so I got to work on finishing that up because it's just written on legal pads with atrocious spelling, so many grammatical errors, run-on sentences. So I gotta get that.
Oh my! I love that idea. Wow.
At the same time, getting like the shirts and the hoodies and stuff like that. People always loved our logo and everything, so. Right off the bat, hey, where's the shirts? You know, and then they're like, oh, welcome back. Like, oh, right on.
Yeah, exactly. Cool, we'd love to support you by getting a shirt or a hoodie or a pack.
Yeah, people always like they like the clothing a lot too. So got to get that going along with that. And also working with Build a Soil, getting my soil, my old Coca-Cola secret soil recipe bagged up in bags and some of the little tricks and whatnots that I used to make. That way everybody doesn't have to go trying to make their own. You know, I get it. Not everybody's got all the time in the world. So it's time saving, it's efficient, it's cheap. You know, it's just that way anybody that wants to like follow along, it's like, all right, which leads me into the next thing, having like a YouTube.
Oh, nice.
You can follow by the number. It's like, all right, I'm gonna pop a pack of some Screaming Eagle. Follow along if you want. And long as you're, you know, if you're growing in the same type of environment that I'm growing in, and we're, you know, putting the same inputs, growing in the same soil, that allows me to like more guarantee your success, you know, because at the some of the shows feel like, why is my weed like your weed? Like, well, you're not growing like me.
Right.
You know, you might be doing a Lucas Formula GH or something, or some guys might be on Advanced. Some guys are doing their own soil mix that's loaded down with alfalfa and kelp and other shit. So, and then, you know, I got people that might be close to mine, but they would mess up in the drying phase, or, you know, a whole bunch of different things. So that's why it's like, literally just go by the numbers with me and we can smoke the same.
I love that, man. Is that up right now? Do you have that YouTube page up, or is that something you're working on getting up?
Nah, I'm literally doing like all these things all at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to let us know how we can help you, man.
I
already have multiple ideas as we hop off the call here. We'll talk off air, but for on air, do you have any sort of merch store? I mean, listen, the Growcast community owes you a lot specifically, aside from the entire cannabis community. You're a huge inspiration to, you know, Rizo Rich and by extension, my entire community, you know, not just being from VA, but growing and working with your genetics. Rizo Rich still talking about to this day, hunting that old school Virginia Beach Afghan that you were so closely involved with. So before we get into that, is there a way that I can send my audience to support you, man? We would love to do that.
Yeah. Check out the Instagram for right now. It's The Real Duke Diamond.
At The Real Duke Diamond. Go and give him a follow, everybody.
Yeah,
get on that Instagram. But we're going to talk off air, man, because Instagram sucks right now.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about getting you hooked up.
I'm getting the website all hooked up where people can, you know, do the shirts and all that stuff for now. Brian, which will later get the bulk, which will later get the beans. All, you know, the whole thing.
Sure.
It's just, yeah, step by step. I think I've been out like 2 weeks now, something like that.
Oh, so, you're moving
yeah,
quick.
Hit the ground running. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I mean, and I can only imagine. But let's dive back in time for a minute here and talk about that Virginia Beach Afghani. Again, I've only heard Rich speak of this. Again, Rizo Rich, my close partner at Growcast and Growcast Seed Co., and just a super talented grower.
Yeah,
and man, sure. Does he speak fondly of that strain, Duke. He really, really does.
Crazy strong, man.
Yeah.
Crazy strong.
What drove you to work with that? Why was it so special to you? And what were you trying to, at the time, what were you trying to accomplish, or what value were you trying to implement to your breeding work?
Well, with that one, I guess it's Virginia classic. Like anybody who's like heavy into growing or heavy in the game, like slinging or just blazing, you came across it at one point or another. And it was that one thing that like, it was around me and people were on it, like think on shit. Just so blistering fucking potent. Tastes great, you know, got that Granny Smith apple type funk going on with it.
Mm.
Like an incensey sandalwood effect with it. Just blistering potent. It would actually like make you noited out. Have you peeking off the blinds, like, oh shit, did you hear that? Did you hear that? You know? But then that would go away and you just melt. I mean, just melt into the chair, the couch, or whatever could hold you up. And it's just great. And it was something that, like, yeah, people back home knew. You know, like, people there knew, but other places, like, some people would hear about it, but only because, like, oh, yeah, well, my buddy here, he's from Virginia. He used to talk about it all the time. You know, he's moved out here to California or wherever, USA. And I wanted to, like, kind of get that out there, maybe not in like purest form, you know, like a long IBL project, but at least something that was like a real, real solid representation of it. So I took a skunk hybrid male, hit it, and made what we call the Granny Skunk. That was like, she, you know, it had like a few like nicknames, like Grandma, Granny.
Yep.
You know, again, there's so many nicknames for it. But, anyhow, man, did that, grow it out, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty spot on, man, especially for like just a F1 hybrid. So I put that out there. So everybody from back home was like, snatch that shit up like crazy. And then the rest of the world kind of was like, huh? What? Because they just don't know. And then slowly but surely, you know, people were growing it and passing it around. They were like, holy fuck. So then it started to kind of catch on after that. And it'll continue to catch on because dudes back home in Virginia now, they're able to come out the woodwork.
Yeah.
you'll start hearing about it a lot more.
Absolutely. Just spoke to some legal farmers in Virginia back in Worldwide December. What a strange sentence that is. Was very happy to see that pop off. But yeah, dude, that granny skunk, my God. I have so many directions I want to go. Where do I go first? The first thing is, as somebody who's kind of familiar and I would say specialized in these types of skunk terpene profiles, which I imagine is an amalgam of different terpenes that lead to that effect, and you know, thiols and things like that.
Yeah.
When you started passing them out of the state, when you started being more prolific, did you hear about the same expressions in different climates? Or do you think that Virginia and the terroir and the environment there had something to do with that skunkiness?
A little bit of both. Like, environment definitely, you know, always plays a part. But the growth style, a lot of people back home, you know, you had a lot of just organic, you know, soil growers.
That's true.
They always had the best result as far as, you know, anything terpene, you know, smell wise is going. So another thing is, like, you know, just old ways, right? Like, dudes, old farmers, they do their thing, it works, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, about your parents or whatnot, if they were gardeners or farmers or whatever, mm-hmm. but maybe grandma, but, you know, used to take like Epsom salt and use Epsom salt in, you know, sure. their garden for their flowers or whatever. That's a great thing. It's magnesium sulfate and it has sulfur, you know, it's the sulfate side of it. For terpenes to really come to fruition there, they need sulfur. Mm-hmm. So with the absence of sulfur, they cut themselves short. So by supplementing a sulfur, you know, some people do it in the soil. You know, some people do it that way. There's a few different ways to get to that. But without supplementing that, like, people miss out. They look for it and wow. they're like, oh, wasn't there. And they had it, but they didn't.
How long have you been saying this? I know the recent article came out talking about volatilized sulfurs and how they're responsible for skunk. Is that kind of what you're referring to? That you've observed this for years? This is something that just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this was probably 2003, 2004, something like that, where it was very evident. Like, if you didn't have sulfur being supplemented somehow, you should just didn't think as much, just flat out.
Wow.
Then you look up the science behind it and you're like, well, yeah, fucking, you know, figures, right?
Wow. That is really fascinating.
I even put it on the back of the seed pack to supplement, you know, magnesium and, you know, sulfur, you know, do Epsom salt at this much, you know. Yeah, I've been trying to tell people, but
that is really wild. By the way, shout out to your seed packs and the descriptions that you have.
Thank you.
Extensive is the word that I'll use. I love it, man. Really, really legendary. Yeah, that's sulfur. That is really blowing my mind. You know, we have the plant problems channel in our Discord, and I've learned to spot a couple of deficiencies that are kind of telltale and easy to spot, you know, like the sulfur deficiency, for instance.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how much they eat. It's surprising how right. much sulfur they really consume and that you do need to add in. If you take a look at, you know, a blended nutrient line, it's going to be high in sulfur. You take a look at these organic right. guys, they're using Epsom salts, like you said, they're using wettable sulfur,
yeah.
they're doing different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they consume a lot.
The way I think about it is like this, like, you might not even have like noticeable deficiency,
yes.
like say in calcium, right?
Right.
But if you have plant A and plant B, you know, two clones, and you're supplementing, you know, a little extra calcium here, and you're not other, it might not have shown a deficiency.
1,000%.
But, you know, you get a higher yield and a better quality product at the end. The same thing, you know, with that. And also, like, when you're supplementing this, you're doing it in the time where, you know, you're trying to get your terpene levels up. It's also the same time you're wanting a higher uptake of phosphorus, that point in bloom. And magnesium is helping facilitate the uptake of phosphorus. So why not do that? Why not just hit it with both?
Wow.
You know, you're knocking two birds out with one stone.
Getting familiar with that Mulder's chart. I like that. The synergizing nutrients.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very interesting. And you're absolutely right. So many guests have said, you know, if you, especially when you get into soil testing, you realize how things fall out of balance long before you see a visible deficiency. which makes me kind of cringe as like a home grower, because we're really just flying by the seat of our pants, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of things are connected, you know, something else isn't at its best.
Right.
When something else is out of whack, it kind of breaks. It's like a gear of the machine that kind of gets taken out, and the whole thing starts to fall apart. You
know? Yeah, definitely breaks the whole system down, especially in like a soil system. I would agree with that. Yeah. Well, listen, we've got a lot of different places we can go here. Let me kind of back it up and ask you this question. You know, I would say your time away, but just honestly, just throughout your time in the community, kind of as an old school guy, how have you seen things evolve in your mind in the cannabis scene and community and breeding specifically? Are you happy with the way the community is going? Do you like the way breeding is going? Do you see things that you would do differently or change?
I would say the way that I've seen it evolve is kind of similar to like the dispensaries and all that. Like, it almost seemed like, I don't know, with the weed, it was like a race to the bottom, the cheapest, most mediocre bag of weed that they could sell and make money on.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say with a big part of the seed game, it was just like a money grab, you know, like what's hot, let's get it together. Let's just get it out there.
Right.
Some people were really passionate, I guess, about, you know, what they had. So they were kind of doing their thing, but you had a whole slew of other people trying to do the exact same thing, but just trying to do it quicker and just get it out there and get the money.
Yep.
So I've seen just, you know, and I mean, it's with anything, man, whether it's shoes or cars or whatever, like, hype will always be there, and that's what people are going to go after, because at the end of the day, you know, it's somebody's living and making money. And hey, have at it, you know. There's not as many people that were really, really trying to really put in work and do their own original thing. So there just weren't as many of them, but there's still quite a few people out there that were doing that. Just not as many, but that's the thing, man. There's people that are going after the money, people that are putting in the work, also going after money, but they're putting in the work, doing original things, and producing something solid. When you had, you know, a few hundred fly-by-night seed companies that literally made a drop, that, like, you look them up today, they're not there. You can't even call them a seed company. It's just, they called it that, you know,
right?
It was there, it's gone.
No, I definitely see that. I'm not sure exactly, like you were saying, how to word that. Is it the kind of overcapitalization, or not even that? It's just the cheapening, I guess, of it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this: when it's taboo, you have to be passionate about it to do it. When it's illegal and dangerous or outlawed, yeah, then the only people who are getting involved are those with a high level of passion. They're willing to, you know, go to jail or even die for this plant.
Correct.
We have some team members like that. You know what I mean? Do I expect everybody to be like that? No. But when it's a self-selecting group, you got all these old school breeders who are basically cannabis warriors. And then now that all that's lifted, you get a lot of the cheapening, as I said, a lot of the jump in. I guess it's all about intent, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, man, it's all about intent.
And if money was their intent, then fucking kudos. You know, they knocked it off the park. Like, you know?
Yeah, but you're not going to be fulfilled and you're not going to sleep well at night. And if your goal is only money, I believe, maybe this is just optimistic, Jordan River, I believe you won't last long. I believe it'll be like you said, those companies that are flashes in the pan, or they get exposed, yeah, or whatever it may be. And then they may continue
time
on, but
all fails,
yeah, yeah.
Old saying, there's like two things that can't long be held down. That's the light and the truth. You know, a guy comes out and he's like, oh, I got this and that. And yeah, he might get off all impacts at first, but then they're going to grow them out. They're going to come back. What the fuck? And then they're gone. So at least they get called out. And for the people who do put in the work and everything, at least people that come in right off the bat experiencing that, at least they've set the bar so fucking low that when they do get to some good work, they can actually truly appreciate what it is that they do have.
Oh, dude, I love that attitude. I like that. That's a very poignant perspective to take on that.
Yeah.
Have you heard about all the stink about skunk in the recent years? Like, Have you heard about this? The controversy? Like, oh, skunk is gone. You can't find it anymore.
Yeah.
Some breeders are all, oh, I've got the only skunk. Screw everyone else who says they have it. I mean, you got to be chuckling to see this go down.
It was like that even before I left. So it was, you know, like, it's always something. And if it's not that, back in the day, it was sour diesel. If it wasn't that, it was Kimball back way back when before Greg came back out. It's something. Whatever, you know, because the internet is fueled by drama. That's what goes on, you know, that's what keeps it really running. Otherwise, it's just this informative thing, you know. Yeah, you know, it's not, people on the internet, especially in the weed world, they need it for entertainment purposes, I guess. So it's always going to be there, you know, and in a couple of years, it's going to be something else. So I've just seen it for so many years, so long with everything. I honestly don't even pay any.
Holy pay shit. Any that is too
I just
much.
Literally, yeah, I just kind of focus on, whatever I'm trying to get through during the day. And then, like, yeah, somebody, I bring it up, you get a laugh, you know, you just keep it moving, you know?
That is rich, dude. So you're saying that in a few short years, they're going to be going, you know, there's none of those old school Girl Scout cookies, you know, like the old school kind. They just can't find them anymore. It's all, there's sure. going to be some talking point.
Well, it's going to be the original cut, right? And then, no, that's for them. No, that's this one.
Yeah, got the a viroid.
It doesn't exist anymore. You know, it'll be something. It's always something. Who knows?
That's funny, man. I like that. We'll be right back with Duke, but before that, Plant Revolution, the creators of the Great White Line. That's right, microbes at their best, baby. The original kings of myco. The Great White Myco powder is fantastic upon transplant. I believe it's water-soluble grade, too, if I'm not mistaken. But they also have the Orca, which is a liquid mycorrhiza with a couple beneficial bacteria. And that's the one that I really like using a lot, you guys. I use Orca with regularity. Because if you're pounding your soil with all that bacteria, you're going to want to add some fungi with regularity too to keep that balance, right? Now, if you want to get fancy, you might test something like that with a microbiometer. But one way you can get bacteria and fungi into your soil to get those ratios right is with Plant Success products. Their liquid Orca, again, adding myco, and their King Crab with extra beneficial bacteria. It's pure beneficial bacteria. It's one of the cleanest products that I see out there that anyone can incorporate into their garden. That King Crab is a wonderful product. I use it in my reservoir. It's the only thing that I put in my Blue Mat reservoir, that and SLF. That's the only thing that I consider clean enough to go into a Blue Mat reservoir. I'm loving my King Crab combo. Also, don't sleep on the Myco Chum. Yeah, that Myco Chum, no matter what microbes you're using, feed them with Great White's Myco Chum, everybody. Great products, Plant Revolution, the makers of the Great White Line. Pick it up in your local store. We love them. Shout out to Plant Revolution, baby, and Great White. All right, with that, let's get back to Duke Diamond. Hey, speaking of something, that Munson was something. I gotta say that was one of the skunkiest strains that I enjoyed in years, but it wasn't just straight skunk. It was much more complex than that. Your strain Munson.
Yeah, you get some rubber, some coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Like yeah, really, I would say like savory, like you said, nutty. Some of them were a little bit more putrid towards the skunk side and rubber side, like you said. Such an incredible smoke, man. I mean, really, like mm-hmm. 10 out of 10. We loved that plant.
Yeah, real potent.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, can you tell us anything about the Munson?
You know, it was one of those things that I did with a friend, a lady I knew on the forums. She had an old NL cutting. And it was like, yeah, we should do something. I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we should do something. So we do it. And I was like, yeah, it should work out good, because a lot of your skunky notes, at least from my own background, you know, skunk hybrids back in the day were some of the funkiest things that you could grow even. So I was like, yeah, that should definitely come out in the wash. So we do it, test them out. It's like, yeah, that's pretty fucking gnarly. And instead of blowing it up, especially at the time, everybody's like just lurking in the fucking shadows, looking to hawk down on something. And they would get something, literally take a male out of it. And like people would come and tell me too. They'd be like, yeah, so-and-so got your pack or whatever. and literally heard somebody say something. They delete the post that they had that. Then there's a post replaced it with, oh, I got this old 1908 Great Depression era skunk or 1924 Dust Bowl skunk, whoever, whatever the fuck. And what they did, they would literally grow them out and take a male and then you grow up the females already pollinating something. Dude, it was sickening. So instead of like really blowing it out there, I was like, you know, anybody who's like a true, you know, Dominion head would look at the pedigree and be like, okay, I see what he's doing here. Because I do enough, you know, podcasts and talking to people at shows.
Right.
And I repeated the same thing over and over, like, yeah, well, you know, skunk sad's typically gonna be like that. So I really tried, like, I downplayed the fuck out of it on purpose. Just said the fucking Dominion heads would just get it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is funny though.
Yeah. That named Munson, it after man. Fucking Roy fucking Munson.
I was gonna say it's a Kingpin nod. It's
yes.
A nod to Kingpin.
Exactly.
You a fan of movies?
Mm-hmm.
Like you consider yourself a movie buff?
Yeah, something like that, man. Like I had old Sully that was like that. We would, you know, you can't sleep at night or you lock down the cell for weeks at a time from riots, and you're like, it's just talking about movies and everything from way back in the day to current, you know.
Yeah, holy shit, man.
I got one for you. It's even weed related. You ever seen Homegrown?
Homegrown.
A lot of people don't know about Homegrown.
No, I don't think I've
Billy
seen
Bob
it.
Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. It's about some dudes in Northern California doing some outdoor grows and a whole bunch of crazy shit going on.
Huh. How did I not know
Check
this?
It out.
Billy Bob Thornton, Hank Azaria, 1998's yeah. Homegrown.
Yeah.
Directed by Stephen Gyllenhaal. Interesting. I can't believe I haven't heard of this movie, man. You did get me instantly. You're like, I'll get you, and then you got me.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
I love Billy Bob Thornton too. That's dope.
Yeah, he's great, man. It's nice. Bad Santa season two.
That's what I'm saying. That movie is fucking dope. So we do the Growcast TV web show live every Wednesday night for members. And occasionally we do a Growcast game show on there. It's like a straight up game show. And one of the games we do is the Rotten Tomatoes game. Do you know the website RottenTomatoes.com?
Yeah.
I'll have the contestants on and I'll say a movie. So it was all Christmas theme for this last one. So I chose Bad Santa as one of them. And they got to guess what the critics rated that movie. And whoever gets the closest score has the lowest score. Add them all up, lowest score wins at the end of the game. It's pretty dope, dude.
Hell yeah. I'm going to guess Bad Santa was probably like an 8.3.
What the fuck? I'm pretty sure it was like 83. I'm going to have to look it up now. That'd be nuts. I was going to say, dude, we'll have to have you on the show. But I just gave
it's not fair, man.
I just did a whole spiel on Bad Santa about how it's a solid film and it's well put together. And now the sequel was terrible.
That was a thing. 78.
You got a 5 though, dude. That's dope. Where's the clap applause? I don't have my soundboard up here. I do the standing ovation. We'll get you on for the Rotten Tomatoes game, man. That's what we'll do.
Yeah. Cause like back in the day, like when you're growing back then, you couldn't like really have friends like talking about. You can't have people over. You're not really going out. So like all you got to do is just, you're getting stoned, hanging out with, you know, the dogs, if you had a significant other or something, maybe, but, and watch movies, man. And that was the best way to stay out of trouble, you know?
Yeah, we need you staying out of trouble, Duke. Just stay home and watch Bad Santa. Smoke some Munson.
Dude, that's the whole thing, man. I just decided, like, unless I'm going to a show, I'm just going to stay the fucking home. And I will go directly there. I'm going to make sure, like, I got friends even right now. They're like, we're going to make sure your wild ass does not do anything. So
that's good, man.
We're going to pick you up in the house or take you to the airport. We're going to fly beside you. It's basically going to be like a Con Air flight. And if I can get there, drive me to there, you know, and make sure I don't, you know, act a fool. So
Con Air, another great reference.
You know, I'm pretty good. Just, you know. Oh
no,
man.
No, I get it, man. I get it. You know, as you, I'm not
freaking famous. Oh no. That's my buddy. Oh no. He's a fucking bank robber and an extortionist.
Oh shit.
And
shout out to Ono.
Yeah. Shout out to fucking Ono. So what he would do is he'd write the letters or whatever. He would write on there, hey, you're going to give me all your fucking money and you're going to give it to me right now. Or, dot, dot, dot. Oh no, you know.
No, that's way. How That's how he got the name. No. Oh no.
Yeah,
Listen,
he's got a tattooed on the side of his neck.
So is this one of the guys that's going to keep you out of trouble? Because I don't know if Ono is the
No, not Ono. No, man.
Fucking around. Might not be the best candidate. Listen, I mean, I don't want to judge you. Oh, hi. World. Hello, Ono. Hello, world. A little bit. Shout it out, man. You know, you'll never see Ono as a guest on any other podcast, only a Growcast, baby.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe later. Hey, Ono, would you be on my podcast?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. We're in it, we're locking it in.
Yeah, that was great. I almost want to make that a sound.
Yeah, we're gonna make a podcast.
Dude, yeah. Hell yeah.
You're gonna be on it.
When you launch it, you let us know. We'll shout you out, of course.
For sure, dude. He's like, oh, we'll be famous.
Fuck yeah. Ono for president. What were we talking about? We were talking about Munson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't want to seem like I'm just blowing smoke, but that was one of the more memorable strains that that we've cultivated here at Team Growcast over the past couple of years. I also remember how short it remained, at least the phenotype that we got.
Even the taller one only doubled. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, it didn't really get overly stretchy or huge or anything. Good, strong, like branching.
I like that a lot, man.
Shit. Yeah. Another one that was like that I did was called Helena. That was, I guess, depending on the part of the country, they called Helena. It grew like that. Purple Dahlia. That was another one. Wow. Because it had the lavender in it and everything. It you know, wasn't like a huge stretcher or anything. So if you, I heard spaghetti. Good? Nice. Yeah, they cook spaghetti there. Like a little styrofoam tray of them.
Let us know if you got a run or anything. Just let us know.
No. Fuck that spaghetti. I mixed up that cup of Keefe coffee, so I'd be good and energetic for the show.
We were talking before.
I have to bring you some to a show, man. And we'll have to make just so you can taste it. It's something that you won't taste in the free world, really. So, you know, it's fucking strong.
All right, I'll try it out, man. I'll try it out. I got to tell you, though, I'm sending you the good shit. You know, we're getting the purity coffee dump. Get ready for that. Now, let me rephrase that. You're getting the purity coffee drop off.
There you go.
Listen, we can't wait to get you that purity coffee and maybe some Seed Co. strains. What's going on with the breeding, man? I mean, I want to go a couple of different places. I want to go back to your old stuff, but I also want to find out. I'll just ask you now.
Yeah.
What are you looking to do as far as you said you wanted to get back into it with PAX? Are you going to pursue new lines? Is there anybody out there or any strains out there that you're particularly looking forward to working with?
Yeah, man. But like, that's the thing is, like, anybody really knows me knows, like, I don't even mention it until it's already done, typically tested and packed up and ready. Because going back to people that just want to be like, oh yeah, and copy your shit, they got no response time. And normally, like, certain things that, like, have like a parallel project, I'm already like one step ahead, maybe two steps ahead before anything ever even hits it. And it's like one of those things that's like always done pretty well for me. So by the time the guy's like, oh yeah, well, I'll take that and cross it with, oh, motherfucker, already dropped it. Son of a, you know? So, but I can say this, like, yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff.
Okay.
And a lot of really awesome different stuff.
So what I'm reading into, and this is just me reading into it, everybody, different stuff means something other than skunky, probably something maybe a little more sweet. Yeah. Or something like that, or maybe something more specific, like a coffee note or something that less people are doing.
Well, when I worked doing all the breeding work with Brothers Brown, I was doing, and I was kind of held down to almost strictly like sativa work.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really did a lot there. And at the moment, like, and especially at that time, everything was OG, don't kind of count. Nobody even wanted a sativa. And I was like, well, it's like part of a balanced breakfast. Like, you gotta balance, man. You know, you need that. So there's a couple of sativa projects in mind. Whether people want it or not, it's like, I'm doing it, man. If they want some too, I'll let you put it. No.
Nice.
So yeah, we have that. I've always, like, I've had, like, had some really fucking good notes on some fruity things too. Just, you know, a lot of my time was developed, you know, getting the Kim Skunk kind of,
sure,
you know, out there. So right before I went away, though, I had like all these fucking projects, man. They were like right there, man. It was like right there at testing phase or whatever. And there were some really, really cool things that were ready. So luckily I can kind of pick up where I left off there.
I was going to say, were those lost to time, or is that the projects that you're talking about right now?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's like, I'm always ready for doomsday, man. I can, yeah, I put things multiple different places all across the country, man, just in case.
So you had squirreled away, you had skunked away some acorns for the fucking winter.
Absolutely.
And you're able, man, to pick up where you left off. That is huge, man. That's good. Good thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. You always, you got to think like, you know, most people are playing checkers. I'm trying to play chess, man.
Holy shit. Speaking of strains that you've lost to time, though.
Yeah.
Are there ones from back in the day that maybe you were working with or you had experienced before you started breeding, whatever, those strains that got away, like that nostalgic one that you're probably never going to get your hands on again? Does anything come to mind when I talk about a strain like that?
Yeah, it was, somebody had asked me that last week, and the one thing that came to mind was that cuttlefish hash plant. That's definitely one. I had a pheno out of a sour diesel IBL back in the day that like blew the original sour fucking shame.
Wow.
There was this diesel AK-47 hybrid that I had. Oh my God, dude. That was the most insane. Because like everybody's on dessert and fruit and cereals and shit now, dude. It was like Fruit Loops that lingered on your mouth like sour diesel. But fucking this potent shit.
Wow.
So I really, I missed that one too quite a bit. It was the Cherry AK-47 clone.
Oh man, that is
a sour diesel herm. Yeah, with a sour diesel herm, you know, reverse solid on it. I'll be straight up. It's like it's fucking herm. But yeah, as everybody else, oh well, I reversed. Like, nah, I had a light leak.
Yeah, absolutely, baby. You know? The happy accident. That's an interesting one,
happy,
though.
Happy little.
I mean, yeah, I would consider, and it's funny. I'm, you know, not as a experienced and storied cannabis industry member, but I'm, you know, AK-47 sour D, those are old school strains to me. Like when I was kind of cutting my teeth in the 20 teens in Humboldt,
yeah,
like those are strains that I would see around then. And it must have been two special phenos to really remain in your memory like that.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Like it's been a lot, you know, to come and go, and some of them like might not even been like lost at time. It was just like, you just had to make that call. Like the room is gone. Like you gotta say like this one thing, it has to go to the wayside, but right, we'll back it up with a friend, but that friend's irresponsible.
You yeah, know, right.
Then it goes away, you know,
that does happen. Talk to me about the cuttlefish hash plant though. That sounded interesting.
That's a skunky ass fucking plant right there, man. I mean, real fucking gnarly, real narcotic potent, not finicky, grew awesome. Very, 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 very skunky. Loved it.
Yeah, well, no more, I suppose. You know, c'est la vie.
Yeah, yeah. I guy got it from, like, he passed away many, many years ago, too. So, and he was one of the only people I knew that was still hanging on to it even back then. So
funny how that works. You got to hold on to cuts. You got to back them up in multiple locations. I mean, dude, I won't even hold on to cuts from my own grow.
Yeah.
And then I kick myself when I didn't just take more cuts because I smoked all of the good strain. You know what I'm saying? What an irresponsible host and example I am.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you're right. I was like, you know, hunting, dude, it's a fucking commitment. And if you're doing it like on a level where you're, you know, breeding a next step, man, like you got to, you gotta take a lot of fucking clones, you know?
Yeah.
And pull them out till you got your winner. So yeah, it's time consuming, very space consuming at the time, but you know, you're rewarded at the end of it, hopefully, you know?
Yeah, what you're doing on a more, you know, professional scale is definitely, I mean, I advise everybody to take these home growers to take cuts of their own plants for storage in case they find something that's really special to them medicinally, mm-hmm, or whatever it may be. But for someone like you, you've got this idea in mind which you're trying to like hunt down to fruition. Yeah. Totally different task, man. Do you have any kind of breeding advice, generalized breeding advice, philosophies that have, you know, become clear to you over the years of breeding that you'd like to share with a lot of our audience members who are home breeders, or some of them are even professional breeders?
Yeah. The old saying that the devil's in the details, you know, being very observant over every little thing and noticing the pattern. So if you're very familiar, you've grown a clone out, you know, for some years, you really get to notice every little thing about this plant. When you're making an F1 hybrid and the next step's coming, and you're running those, you're going to pick up on these little tiny little things. And then you're also going to notice, like, well, I'm breeding for, say, color and smell. It might not work out. You might notice all the ones that have the color are very stretchy without the smell, and the ones that are very short, you know, they have the smell without the color, vice versa. And you'll notice these things are kind of linked together, which is going to make you have to work harder. Or you might notice that maybe those two things are linked together, but you can't have one that's not as stretchy. So in your next step, when you're hunting your male, kind of look for these same type of deals. And it's much harder, of course, you know, because it's not the female.
Right.
You know, some people just pick out the male just based on, they look at the leaf.
Like, structure. Oh,
that's my boy. Like, yeah, right. So that's like one little thing that might lead you in a certain direction. But there's a lot of other considerations. So like floral clusters. So like you're going to want to bloom these males out. Like even though you're not collecting pollen or doing any of that shit, you know, you're going to want to do that too. Also, like how many times have you grown something from seed, it looked a certain way, and then in the first clone generation, the leaves look quite a bit different.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that. Paying, you know, close attention to all these details and notice patterns amongst the population will help you to get to your ultimate goal a lot faster. And be patient. Don't rush the shit. You rush it, do mediocre work, you're going to get a mediocre result. So if you're going to put time into it, you value your time, do it right, take your time, do it, you know, so that way you got something, you know, at the end of it.
Man, I really like that advice. I'd like to get your opinion on a lot of these new hybridization tools. You know, for the longest time, breeders stressing their plants to create the female pollen, like you said, the herm pollination.
Yeah.
Now this, you know, you take a look at some of these new sprays like the Elite X Elite spray, not an affiliate of ours or a sponsor or anything. We have no relation to them, but this is a new product.
Because that was the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you had banana plants and then you also had, you know, like you're using like silver thiosulfate, right?
Sure.
And, you know, then you're blocking ethylene or whatever.
Yep.
Ethylene and you're whatever. Actually exactly. Creating a more like not a herm, you know, you're blocking that production. So you're getting, you know, female pollen, of course, with the 2X chromosomes, yada, yada, yada.
Like I said, with these new sprays, some of them are one application.
That's what I was doing back in the day. Like you didn't have to hose it down.
With the silver thiosulfate spray, you only applied it once?
Once, sometimes twice.
Whoa.
Sometimes the really, really hard ones, three. The thing was, a lot of people weren't patient with it. Like my, I would just go ahead, fuck it, you know, because somebody's already probably got it out there. So do a spray, but right before flower, and then do your next one once you're into flower. Once you start getting some good flowers kicking, get some DA, and mix you up a dose of that, hit it. And then that'll give us the response to go ahead and just open up, start dumping actual pollen for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Absolutely.
If you want to do your thing, like that's probably the best route. If you're not worried about a whole lot of pollen, just let them open. Just be patient. Get your cup of seeds that's worth. Just get a few buds. All good. You know?
Good way to get a lot of seeds. Not have to re-up if you don't want to.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, exactly. Though, with the male selection.
Yeah,
it's interesting to me now how easy the feminized pollen is to collect, And when you're selecting for two females, you can look at all the expression that you're really looking to get out of the flower.
Exactly.
And so I was just wondering your take on maybe doing that generation after generation, or like I said, how far you would be willing to take things from a filial generation perspective.
It's been done in the past, right? Like people have done that in the past. And I always say is like, whatever your goal is, whatever it takes, right? However many steps you need to take to get to your goal, right?
Sure.
Selfing and reversing plants and making, you know, films, that's like one tool of quite a few that we have in our toolbox. Mm-hmm. So going back to like maybe the dilemma with the color flavor thing, it might even be necessary to reverse something, find something in the population to actually get to that, to further your breeding. And you might go back to a male in the next step, right? Because like there's a whole nother thing. You know, y'all can Google it and read about it. You know, you have like what's called Y-link traits, you know, things that influence the X chromosome from the Y. So that's the thing as well.
Sure.
You know, you might go back and forth. You might back cross a generation. You might go filial a couple. You know, you might go to an F2 for a better selection, right?
Yeah.
Find that, take it to an F3, a little more stable, you know, and maybe you sell from there. Or, you know, there's a million ways you could, not a million, but a lot of ways you can get to your goal. You know, just
I like
be,
that.
But know your basics. You know, have that goal in mind. Pay attention to details, and like I said, just take your time through it, and know that you got all these tools in your toolbox. You know?
When you talk about, you know, breeding for specific goals, one thing I like to ask breeders who come on this show, I ask this every breeder feature, I ask them to kind of define their top values and goals as a breeder. And I know that's hard because many breeders select for many, you know, different things. To me, it seems like you tend to lean towards potent things, towards skunky things, but don't let me put words in your mouth. If you had to define your top goals, your top values as a breeder, what would they be?
Well, primary focus is going to be potency, terpene production. But to me, like those are one and the same.
Right.
As we know with our entourage effect, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's
yeah,
we don't want to go into that long combo, but that ultimately, that is going to be your potency, stability. You know, you don't want people, you know, having plants that are fucking up in their garden, wasting their time and their money. And during the hunt, you know, or during the work for this goal, you know, do it as best you can, you know, always go for your structure and everything else and fix everything that you can along the way while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you're at the end of the goal, you'll have something that's highly potent, stinky, all that good shit that's good and stable. And that's, you know, might, you know, be a little more powdery mildew resistant, pest resistant, along with a good, you know, sturdy structure, you know, getting good input. If you're into selling it, having good input from indoor and outdoor. You know, that's another good one if you can, you know, not always a thing that you can do, but you know, if you can, hey, you know, go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's my primary, along with all the other things that I can work in there, just that stability, potency, smell, and then, you know, everything else that I can get as good as I can. You know?
Love it, man. Yeah. That is definitely something that I hear a lot is terpenes breeding for terps, like you said, really plays into the potency or at least the type of effect that you're looking for. And it does seem like you're doing your own thing. I always respect breeders who have a thing. It doesn't matter what the market is doing.
Yeah.
They've got a thing and that's their thing. There's a lot of people out there I could name like that. And I always respect that because it means that you had a fucking plan. You're an artist. You know, I don't want to get too, you know, fancy schmancy, but you're an artist who had a picture in mind before you started painting it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and going through it, you know, with intent and following through, doing it primarily like I'm doing it for me, or I'm doing it for me and friends, of course, or sometimes it's for people that I was taking care of medically. So there was an intent and a goal behind it to begin with, and if it's a success, if I like it, there's good chance others are going to like it. If it works for a large group of people medically, you know, there's, you know, always a medical need. So I always kind of just took that approach.
I respect that quite a bit, man, especially the medicinal side. That's right up our alley here at Growcast. Very, very commendable. And like you said, you kind of have your idea in mind when you start out, and then nature will do its thing as well. I guess that leads nicely into my next question. Were there any like huge surprises that you had when crossing strains, maybe two strains that produce something completely different? And or follow-up question, I mean, this is kind of one and the same, like the craziest mutations that you've seen, whether or not it has to do with breeding, but just like, does anything spring to mind when I ask you that?
Yeah, so the unpredictability nature and that also fall with the people breeding. You cannot be so where you can't say like, this isn't working, this needs to go in the fucking trash. Because there's a lot of things that end up that way.
Yeah.
It's not the blender effect, you know, where it's like, hey, I'll throw strawberry banana, throw it in the blender, I got strawberry banana. It doesn't, you know, like sometimes, you know, you can take a shot out there and hit it, you know, but typically that's not going to work. So, you know, there's that. As far as like things that happen really good that completely just threw me for a loop, complete loss. It was a really nasty, pissy, death-smelling Hindu Kush. Using the male out of that to hit the Kim D. And coming out with all these really, really nasty plants, and this one pops up, this Smucker Strawberry Jam.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm.
Wow!
Yeah.
So what does that say to you? Does that point, and maybe the answer is both things, does that point to the incredible variability of what nature has the ability to produce? Or does that also point to just the slight differences in odors with their composition? You just take out a little bit of this and you put it in a little bit of that and you go from, you know, skunk piss to strawberry jam.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, your wife and yourself, let's say, you know, that you're blonde hair, blue eyed or black hair, brown eyed, right? Have been for as many generations as possible. You have a bunch of kids that are the same and then one of them's got red hair and blue eyes.
Right.
So way, way, way back, you know, this little recessive genetic has decided to pop back up. I think some of it's that. And then, yeah, it's just a small tweak of things and you change the complete smell, you know, of what you're working with. So in that case, that being so extreme, I think I was just a weird little recessive thing that popped up way, way, way the fuck back. And yeah, it doesn't take much and you can go from rancid to a, you know, pineapple, not much, you know, it needs to be really tweaked.
That is fascinating though, man. You got the two parents that are just skunky and funky, giving out all these kids, and then one is just fucking sweet strawberry jelly.
Yeah. And I mean, spot on, not like it's something like Smucker's Strawberry Jam, or kind of like, like dead on the fucking money.
Like it's the corn syrup notes. It's everything.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And like the rosin from it and shit, like is the, like you open it up and you're like, strawberry jam.
Oh, dude, now that's too much. Now that's too much.
There was another one. I had the Slice Project, which was old Calio Skunk One, you know, because Calio was just a Skunk One phenotype. There it is again. Weird thing that just pops out of nowhere.
Damn.
You're growing all these Skunk One plants and boom, all of a sudden you got fucking orange juice. Like fucking orange. Like, really? So, you know, hit that just out of curiosity, just to see what's going to go down. You know, crazy oranges and shit like that. Uh-huh. I had this one, smelled just like tequila. And same thing with that. Make the rosin from it. You think you popped open a bottle of Don Julio or something.
Holy shit. That is dope. That sounds really cool, man. Yeah, I really got to admit. It's funny you're talking about the Calio. I was just, shout out to a member, Brixie, a member of the Order of Cultivation. A very, very prolific, generous member. He picked up a cut of Calio because he heard that my dad, Pops River, used to smoke it back in the day, right? Like, that's an old school California cut. My dad would tell me about kind of the Acapulco Golds and the Colombian and stuff like that. And then he said we really stepped our game up in high school or whatever it was when we got our hands in the Calio. And shout out to Uncle Don growing this stuff. So he went along and got me one of those cuts. I did want to thank him here on air just for my pops, but that's interesting that I didn't know that it was just a skunk phenotype. And, you know, that doesn't surprise me. I find myself being surprised and also contradicting myself. Isn't cheese
just another skunk pheno. Yeah, and I love skunk. Skunk is the best. And I've complained on this podcast about how I don't really care for cheese, but I guess that doesn't. Yeah. It just shows you how different phenotypes can be.
Yeah, so, man. I want to say another one. Because there used to be a dude on the boards named Cecil. He was the green crack guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I want to say he said that was, it was also, it was a skunk one from old stock, you know. But,
whoa.
Yeah.
That's another one I've complained about on this podcast. You're really nailing it today, Duke. I don't dislike green crack. I grew quite a bit of it in Humboldt County when I was growing for dispos. And I kind of got sick of it pretty quick. And I haven't really gotten over that.
Yeah, no doubt.
I know a lot of listeners and members who love that green crack, and it's a great grower's strain. I'll tell you that. Wonderful grower strain.
Oh, it's a cash crop and dream.
Yeah, but I'm not over my. It's kind of like, you know, when you eat too much Reese's peanut butter cups and then you barf and then you can't eat Reese's for like several years or something, and then eventually it'll go away. With,
Jim Beam.
Precisely. Yeah, you have to stay away from that tequila strain then, dude. You're going to it's going to make you nauseous. Oh fuck.
Oh yeah.
This was a pleasure of an interview. Let's see, what else do we have before we wrap it up? Any other plans? Again, let me shout out the Instagram, The Real Duke Diamond. Go and give him a follow, everybody. Fresh out of the pen. Oh, let me ask you this. What's the first thing you ate when you got out? What's the first meal you had?
It wasn't anything. Last night the old lady brought me a Big Mac chicken nuggets.
Oh, so. No dude, that's great.
See, like, because this is the second go around, right? So I know, like, you know, your first instinct is like to get something good, right? And like that's wrong. So if you ever find yourself being away for a hot minute, don't do that. Take it slow. You got to get acclimated back to eating human food again. So you take it slow. So I took it slow. I enjoyed my Big Mac and my nuggets. And
nothing wrong with that, awesome. Dude. Nothing wrong with that. You get some of the fucking barbecue sauce, you're good to go.
Yeah, dude. Had the barbecue, the hot mustard, the sweet and sour, and I was just going through all of them, man.
That's the life, man. That is the life.
Yeah.
We are
I
quite
felt so fat last night,
dude. Well, we're quite happy to have you back, man. We're gonna talk off air. We'll get you hooked up, whatever you need. Again, a huge influence on this community. I know this is the first time that we've really spoken. We had plans to do this show years ago, and then you know, things got in the way. You went away. It was just one of those things. And Rich is always
my word, man.
No doubt about that. But Rich has always spoken very highly of you, and you, like I said, you've
had a good dude.
You've had a bigger impact than you probably realize through your work. So we do appreciate you quite a bit, Duke.
Yeah. And like I said, there's still some things over at Seeds Here Now. If anybody's just happens to ask or whatever, it's all over there. Upcoming, I don't know if it's this week because the Christmas stuff getting ready to go down, but definitely the week after. Keep your eyes out. There'll be a couple things going up on there, so keep your eyes peeled.
I think by the time this drops, that'll be live. It may be, who knows, it may be sold out, especially because we're going to keep the members abreast of these sorts of things.
Yeah.
But we're going to send them your way, man. Seedsherenow.com. Go and support Duke and keep an eye out for those updates again at The Real Duke Diamond on Instagram, and and stay tuned, everybody. Big things coming.
I'll keep them posted. One of them's something I made, AKB Marines gave me the MTF cut back in the day.
Oh, cool.
When I was developing this male for the figure four project, the one step, when I picked him out, it's called the Ass Man. So when I was making the Ass Man to the TK to make the figure four, I was like, I'm going to do something cool for old Bean Reigns, man. So I put the MTF in there, hit it, and just gave him all the memes. So here you go, man. Enjoy. He did them off or whatever. He's so blown away by it, but he kept them because it was a lot. It was a lot of meat.
Nice. So, well, good for you, man.
He's at them. Yeah, so he's packing them up, sent them into feature now, and they'll be available. It's called Thunderhole.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. Shout out to AK Bean Brains. I've seen that guy on Instagram and stuff. He's like an older forum guy too, right? I think he's involved with a couple different outfits.
Yeah. yeah, he's definitely, he's old head. Does work a lot of work with old stuff, you know. Very similar face to Mike and everything. It's a great dude anyway.
Oh, that's great, man. Now I do recognize that lineage joke there. The Ass Man, a reference to the old WWE, probably then WWF wrestler known as the Ass Man, who had his own song and everything, right? That's what you're referencing?
I know what you're talking about there, but the acronym is the ASS, stood for Airborne, G13, Skelly, Ashplant, and Skunk.
So you nailed it though, because it went into the figure four, which is a fucking wrestling move, right?
Exactly. And then the figure four hybrids were all named after wrestlers. Like the one was called the Savage Headband.
Wow.
He had the Beefcake D. You know what I mean? I did a whole, I had Superfly, you know, after Jimmy Snuka. all those. So yeah.
I was never into the WWF, but I do recognize that wrestler and that song. I was gonna boot it up right here, but unfortunately Cambot is not functioning right now, so we couldn't play the song. I'd probably get struck on YouTube for fucking copyright if I did anyways.
Probably.
Unfortunately. Duke, man, this is great. We're all over the place, so make sure and keep an eye out. We should link up for sure. Anytime. You're welcome back on the show anytime. Again, everybody go and hit him up. Support Duke Diamond, follow the real Duke Diamond on Instagram, seedsherenow.com. He says there are some packs left. When you hear this, they might be gone, but go and check and support and keep an eye out for more drops coming soon.
Yeah, because there was like the Duke Diamond Vault, which was like stuff that was like awesome hybrids being used to go in a further gen for breeding. It didn't work out in that further gen, but that by itself was awesome shit. So that ended up there. There's still a few things left there. Then you have the standard Dominion stuff. And then there's yet another one. I think James Thomas said big stuff or something, but there was a local lab from Heroes of the Farm in there called Freedom Fighter. It's probably where the Thunder Hole is going to end up too. And then, you know, I'm going to get it cracking and have a lot of cool stuff in the future. Everything you want.
If there's anything left, I guarantee we're going to make it move. We're going to sell that shit out. Growcast, you know what to do. I know you're already after it. These breeder features, man, they get people drooling. I'm sure that they're already rushing over there. And again, it's the least we could do. So listen, Duke, we'll have you back anytime. I'll wrap up the show here. We'll talk off air. And just one more time, thank you for taking the time today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, man. Yeah, anytime, man. You got that air to fill. I'll be your dude.
Fuck yeah, man. We will talk. Listeners, follow us at Growcast and make sure to check out membership, of course. Join the Order of Cultivation. You know that we're inviting Duke on Growcast TV. He's going to crush the Rotten Tomatoes game. He'll be playing for someone in the audience to win a prize. So
yeah, come get some. bring your A game and pack them
up. Check it out. Thanks, everybody. Growcastpodcast.com/join the order. Thank you. This is Duke Diamond and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe out there and grow smarter.
Yeah, later.
That's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in again today. Before we wrap it up, I got to shout out acinfinity.com, everybody. The Cloud Ray is going to drop. This is the best last oscillating fan that you'll ever purchase. Code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. The code was broken for a minute. It's been fixed. Go ahead and use it. Go ahead and send us a snapshot of you using it to enter to win free seeds. Now, these Cloud Rays are dropping in February, word on the street is. All right? Now, maybe I'm wrong. At the time of recording this, you might want to go check. But I know that last I heard, February, the Cloud Ray drops. Go and grab one. They're so effing nice. So nice. You're not going to go back. The Cloud Ray series, clip-on oscillating fans, 10-speed fan controller, powerful, gentle at the lower speeds, easily adjustable. It is exactly what you want, and it's at acinfinity.com with code GROWCAST15. Go and get them, baby. Enjoy. Enjoy those savings, everyone, and enjoy the AC Infinity Cloud Rays dropping February. Any day now. Go and check it out. All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We've got more breeders on the way. Lots of good episodes coming, so stay tuned. I appreciate all of you so much. Check out membership, of course, the Order of Cultivation, all the incredible things we're doing over there. And we'll see you next time on Growcast. Bye-bye, everybody.